is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute. He's traveling. He's in the Middle East. But to comment upon items from the news between the United States and Russia, between NATO and Russia in these last days, that points to a deepening alienation between the two nuclear superpowers following the Geneva conversations summit between Mr. Putin and Mr. Biden at the beginning of the Biden administration. Anatole, a very good day to you. And I go through this list not especially in order of priority, but what is flowing over the news in Moscow influencing decisions about NATO and about the U.S. First of all, the virus. The virus now is setting new records every day in Russia, in Moscow, in Petersburg. It seems to be the Delta variant that is plaguing also the rest of Europe, the UK, and is heading the US way, already here, but it's growing. That has led Russia to mandate vaccination for its service sectors and also insist upon masks and proof of vaccination when you enter eating establishments. I'm told that no foreigner, no person with a passport from another country is now permitted in an eating establishment in Moscow. That's an anecdote, but it's fresh. We move from the virus to the event that dominated the week for Russian media, which was the Vladimir Putin annual call-in, where he sat very glumly on a soundstage between two presenters and took calls from all 10 or 11 zones, I never can remember, time zones of the Russian Federation, answered questions that turned chiefly on the virus and also the price of food, so domestic matters. However, he did make remarks that point to this deepening alienation, especially about Ukraine, where he said the Ukraine government is not in charge. Western leaders are in charge. That's how he characterized it. The call-in was also an item in that it got hit by cyber attacks during the call-in. There was interruption, or at least we were told there was interruption. More alienation continues. There are four NGOs operating in Russia that have now been closed by the Russian authorities. These NGOs are all related to the now exiled and a man called a former tycoon, Mikhail Khodorkovsky, you know very well, the man who was jailed for many years by the Russian government because he was said to be a tax evader having to do with the transfer of assets from the Soviet Union to a holding company that was chiefly driven by energy. In any event, Mr. Khodorkovsky, now living, I believe, in Britain, and he travels widely, had four NGOs in Russia that have now been closed. The Britain-registered Khodorkovsky Foundation, a subsidiary, Oxford Russia Fund, the Future of Russia Trust Philanthropic Fund, and the French group, European Choice. In addition to this, we have hard news about alienation. This has to do with the Black Sea operation by NATO called Seabreeze. Two NATO warships, actually more than that, but two NATO warships have been challenged by Russian forces in these last days. Most noted, the HMS Defender, some days past, was challenged off the Crimean post. I believe HMS Defender, a Royal Navy warship, is now in harbor in Georgia, docking there. But most recently, a Dutch warship, Evertsen, part of the same Seabreeze operation, was buzzed by a Russian warplane in the Black Sea. Russia is said to have responded to this by deploying the S-400 missile system in response to the Black Sea drills. I move to cyber attacks only to say that vaguely, as I understand it, Russia is challenging the cybersecurity framework at the UN, saying it's inadequate, we need a new treaty. Russia and the U.S. disagree about that because the U.S. levels charges of cyber attacks and cyber pranks and cyber theft at Russia. Most notably, recent events in the U.S. all pointing fingers at Russia. I'm thinking of the Colonial Pipeline that was shut down for several days because of so-called cyber gangs and ransomware. I fall silent except for back to Ukraine. Germany has now banned travel from Russia. The U.S. is closing its embassy in Moscow. I believe it's the last of the places where a Russian citizen can acquire a visa to travel to the West and other consular services. That means it will be very difficult to travel from Moscow to Russia, from Moscow to New York or Washington, even if you could, because of the virus and the restrictions. Germany banning travel means that Russians are limited to countries that they can travel to where they can get visas. So that's enough, except for Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, has responded to the remarks by Vladimir Putin at the call-in that Ukraine is not in charge of its own government. Western leaders are. A very good day to you in the Middle East, and I take this all to turn on your original observation that Ukraine is the problem. Hello, Anatole, and help me sort through this. Is this what I have called deeper alienation?
Hello, John. Well, yes, it certainly is. In a way, this is surprising because, the summit between Biden and Putin appeared to be, launched by the United States in an effort to normalize relations. And, lots of people said, we're going back to a bad normal, a kind of Cold War normal. But at least, it's going to be normalized. We're going to have normal diplomatic relations and, and try to avoid unnecessary flare-ups. But, of course, two things have intervened. The first, which is, ultimately, of course, nobody's fault, but has been fueled by, both carelessness by the Russian government, but also on the part of the Russian population, is the surge of COVID cases in Russia. And that is, of course, this is the new Delta variant, more infectious, which is beginning to affect us all. But the Russian government was much too relaxed for much too long about, introducing the kind of restrictions and lockdowns that were introduced elsewhere. One could say the same thing, of course, about the U.S. under Trump or Britain under Johnson. Russia, it must be remembered, is catching up with us. Our death rate is still much higher than theirs, but they are catching up very fast, alas. So the Russian government was careless, but also because of these, in part stupid conspiracy theories about the vaccines, but also in part because of some rather, better based doubts about the Russian Sputnik vaccine, the Russian population has been very resistant to taking the vaccine. Although the vaccines are available on a much larger scale in Russia, people just haven't been taking them. And so, there's just a much bigger vulnerability. This is why, the Russian government now, of course, is trying to crack down much harder. But it's also why, of course, a number of countries are now, closing travel from Russia. So that's the first thing, which, hopefully will recede again after a while. But the second thing, as you say, is the flare up over Ukraine. And I have to say that I can't quite understand why America and NATO and Britain did this at this particular moment, because, of course, declaring that we don't recognize Russian sovereignty over Crimea, the Russian annexation of Crimea, we have to say that. That's the legal position under international law. It's our diplomatic position. I hope that eventually we can reach some, deal over this and get some concessions from the Russians as well. But clearly we have to go on saying this. But of course, saying these things does not necessitate making this kind of, ostentatious military gesture. We never recognized the Soviet annexation of the Baltic states, quite rightly. But during the Cold War, we did not try to send, NATO warships through what the Soviets claimed as their territorial waters, because we would have been extremely concerned, with good reason, that they would, not merely be warned off, but actually sunk. And if the point of the summit was to reduce tension, if the governments in Washington and London and Holland, you know, did not know that the Russians were bound to respond to this, then they must, all I can say is they must have some extremely bad advisors. And so there seems to be an odd and foolish contradiction between the point of the summit and this, you know, this gesture in the Black Sea.
My information is that the Black Sea incident with Defender is conjoined with Evertsen, and that this operation was planned for some time. It wasn't spontaneous. And it's meant...
Oh, no, absolutely not.
It's meant to be a direct challenge off of the Crimean coast. That's where Defender was challenged, off of Crimea in particular.
Yes, it was. I mean, it was a direct challenge to Russian sovereignty claim, to which, as I say, the Russians were bound to respond. Now, of course, the point is that this exercise was planned long before the summit. So to an extent, it may be just that, you know, our governments were operating on autopilot, but certainly if there was any desire as expressed in the summit for better relations, that has now been obviously thrown out of the window. The other point to be made is that while, you know, as you know, there is in principle, as both Biden and Putin said at the summit, the basis for a peace agreement on eastern Ukraine, leaving eastern Ukraine, you know, within Ukraine, with autonomy, is actually there. It was drawn up in 2015. The question is how to implement it. Crimea is a different issue. The Russians will never return Crimea. They've annexed it, according to them, legally. It was confirmed, and it does seem genuinely, by a large majority in a local referendum. The only way the Russians will give up Crimea is if America attacks them.
Just a moment. Just a moment, Anatole. We'll return, because the matter does turn on Crimea. That is meant to be the sore point that will continue to be pressed. Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute, he is in the Middle East. We're commenting on the cascade of incidents and remarks and opinions in these last days, just since the summit in Geneva, that suggests a deeper alienation between the two nuclear superpowers. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.